And he said, we have to cancel Christmas. Thankfully, a reindeer, you know, with a shiny nose showed up, and we still had Christmas. We talk about missing Christmas, home alone, you know, the idea that the family wasn't there, you know, he was all by himself for Christmas. He misses Christmas with his family. All kinds of movies about, you know, getting, you know, lost or missing the train or whatever it is to keep from, you know, actually being able to have Christmas. The thing is, Christmas goes on without us. Even as a child, I knew that Santa couldn't cancel Christmas. It was going to happen with or without him. But so many people miss Christmas, even though they're with their families, and even though they are there for Christmas dinner and open all the presents, because they really don't understand what Christmas is all about. And so I want to take this time that we have right now, kind of this middle break between the service, to make sure that you're in the proper space, that your mind is where it needs to be, that your spirit is where it needs to be this Christmas, so that you don't miss it this year. There are two ways that you can miss Christmas. The first one is that you're overly distracted and you don't care about the things of, you know, God. It is all about getting the dinner made and the presents wrapped and, you know, getting together with family, which are all wonderful things. But if we don't understand our desperate need for a Savior, we will miss Him. If we think that we, you know, have no need of a Savior because you really don't believe in these things, or maybe you're extremely religious and you think that, you know, you're good enough. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, who were the religious teachers of the day when Jesus walked the earth, they were these types of people. They missed Christmas because, honestly, they didn't think they needed it. They didn't need a Savior. They were good enough. Of course, there are those that think that they're so bad that God could never love them. They miss out on Christmas too. But most of us are just too distracted with everything else. And I want you to take this time now to listen to what I have to say, and as we continue the service, to really pay attention to the words that are being read, the Holy Scriptures, which tell the story of Jesus, and pay attention to the words of the songs. Because we really do need a Savior. Whether you think, you know, that God has, you know, is going to overlook you because you are too sinful, or whether you think that you have no need of a Savior, either one of those will make you miss what Jesus has come to do. And as I said in the confession earlier, what the Scriptures tell us is that once sin came into the world, we were all condemned, all of us. Not because you've done something. It's because of who you are. Or you had become sin. And it wasn't even your doing necessarily. Oh, we follow it up. We're all guilty of something, all of us. But even before we ever did anything, we were condemned in our sin because of what our father and mother did, Adam and Eve. We were condemned in our sin from the word go. And we maybe don't realize it. We think that we're just fine. After all, I haven't done anything heinous. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't robbed a bank. I'm better than most of these people that you see in the news. I'm probably okay. Well, you're going to miss Christmas. Because you have to realize that you need him. And so this is an opportunity to really think about the ways in which you fall short of where God wants you. He's God, the creator of the universe. And he became a little baby so that in the fullness of time, he could take on our sin and our corruption unto himself. And everyone who believes in him, he gives his righteousness. You know, so many people who miss Christmas think that being Christian is about being good. Now, Christians are good, but they're made that way. They don't choose to become that way. First and foremost, Jesus clothes us in his own righteousness. That's the goodness that saves us. Now, the goodness that follows our behavior, those are things that we do as a natural reaction to what he's done for us. But that's not what saves us. The good things that we do are not what save us. What saves us is that we know that we are sinful and condemned, and Jesus has come into our world and taken our sin upon himself. And for everyone who believes, he clothes in his righteousness. He makes you holy by his declaration. This is Christmas. That we believe that God sent his Son into the world so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And it takes two steps that only the Holy Spirit leads us to take. And that first one is recognizing that we're condemned. That we need Jesus. When we take a real close look at our lives and see how we have failed not only God, but all the people in our lives that we say we love. When we really look at it, you understand why a perfect God could not receive you as is. And so what did he do? Because he loves you so much, he became one of us. The scriptures actually say that he took our sin into his body that was crucified on that cross. And he poured out his blood, his life-giving, cleansing blood, onto creation to cleanse it from all stain of sin. And everyone who trusts in him receives that forgiveness and that mercy. That's what Christmas is all about. And if you would just spend the rest of this evening contemplating those things, your need for a Savior, and the fact that he has come into the world and he has taken our sins away. And we've done nothing to deserve it. It's been done for us. And as the angels proclaimed to those shepherds that night, it's good news for all people. Every one of us. The people who are distracted, the people who are overly religious, for the people who think that their sins are too great, it doesn't matter. God has done it for us all. The rest of the service, I want you to really try to pay attention to everything that's going on so that you don't miss Christmas this year. And I promise you that if you go through the process of examining yourself and recognizing your sin and hearing the words of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, who became a man to take away the sins of the world, you will have not missed Christmas this year. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, who in becoming a man took on our sin. And by going to the cross, took it away from us and offered us his perfection, his holiness, offered us the opportunity to be clothed in his righteousness through faith in him. And we thank you, Lord, that by no effort of our own, we have been brought to this wonderful news. Help us, Lord, to believe. By the power of your Spirit, help us to believe and to trust in you and not miss Christmas this year. Lord, one of the reasons that we miss Christmas so often is that we're so distracted by our cares and worries. Many times it's about people we love who are sick or grieving or troubled, struggling financially or any number of struggles, Lord, and they fill our mind and they keep us from understanding what it is that you want us to understand and trust and believe. You know every thought and every concern and every person that are on the minds of the people in this building tonight. Pray, Lord, that you hear their prayer, that you comfort them with the knowledge that you rule and reign over this world, that you are in control, and that you love us, and that you work all things out for the good for those who love you and are called to your service. There are a few people, Lord, that we lift up especially tonight. We lift up Diane O'Neill after her fall, Lord. We thank you that she's not critically injured, but she is suffering and she's in the hospital. We ask you to comfort her, strengthen her in this time. We also pray for Michael Ortiz, friend of our praise, our worship team, Lord. We give you thanks and praise for all of your blessings, and we trust in your healing power, and we ask for you to bring these people to full recovery. Lord, we also give you thanks and praise for our country and for our leaders. We ask for you to continue to bless the leaders that love peace and justice and empower them to do their jobs. We also, Lord, ask that we would have the right heart and that we would submit ourselves to all of those that you put in authority over us as you've called us to do. Finally, Lord, I pray that you would give us hearts and eyes that are open to see needs around us, that we would minister to others without even needing to be asked, that we would become people who love other people, who forgive others as you've forgiven us, that we would truly be lights to this world and the salt of the earth as you've made us to be. Lord, in all things, we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' holy name, amen. We continue our service with our gifts.